This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to this week's edition of 5-on-3, WFUV's best and if only hockey podcast. I'm Lydia Perner, joined alongside by Grace McCarron and Dom Sansone, and we have a Stanley Cup champion. The Florida Panthers have now won back-to-back Stanley Cups as they defeated the Edmonton Oilers last night in Florida. We'll break that all down along with some rather depressing local tri-state area news, depending on who you are. And yeah, I'm talking about Chris Kreider, but before we get into that, how are you two doing? Grace, we'll start with you.
I'm doing good. I thought this was a super exciting Stanley Cup final. I would have liked it to go to seven games, but it kind of, I think, became clear after, or at least during game five to me, that it probably wasn't going to. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of interesting things happened during it, and then obviously Chris Kreider, we're all still shook over that one. So yeah, excited to get into it with you guys.
Yeah, the Kreider news is devastating. Not what you wanted to hear for a New York local and a New York fan. You know, I'm a Sabres guy. I'm up from Western New York, but obviously I still like to support the New York teams. In regards to the Cup, though, I mean, I think we saw a great series this year as well as last year. So I was kind of thrilled with the rematch, and, you know, I would have liked to see McDavid get one, and I'll get into that more. But, you know, obviously an American team won it in Florida, so you do like to see that.
Well, I think you two kind of both hit the point of, yes, we would have liked to see this series go seven. Yes, we would have liked McDavid to get a cup, but when you see McDavid talking after that game, after that loss last night, and just kind of, you've never seen Connor McDavid at a loss for words and not being able to figure out what went wrong with his team. And to me, that's it. I don't know if it's safe to say that the Florida Panthers are kind of like a dynasty right now, because I just don't think there's any team that knows how to play with them. They're just that good. And if anyone was to do it, it was going to be Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And McDavid kind of seemed like he had no answer for the Panthers' forecheck. Do you think, Grace, this is a kind of a question that's been going back and forth online. Clearly the Oilers needed more offense, right? But they couldn't do it because the Panthers had such structured defense. Do you think Zach Hyman would have made a difference in this series, or do you not necessarily think, do you just think it was the Panthers' Stanley Cup from the get-go?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think he might have made a little bit of a difference, but I also think the Panthers are maybe head and shoulders above everyone else, even with the Oilers having Draisaitl and McDavid. Like, those two during the finals, like, after the first couple of games, like, their offense quieted down quite a bit, and that's not something you can let happen when you're playing the Florida Panthers. And then you have, I think we'll get into this a little bit later, but you had the goaltending issue with the Oilers, where, like, they, it's back, and you don't know who the goalie is going to be the next game, and that's not a good way to win the Stanley Cup, especially with Bob and Ned on the other side. You can't really let Florida get away with anything, and I think they did let Florida get away with a lot this series. But yeah, I think Zach Hyman might have helped a little bit, but overall, Florida might just be, like, too much for them, and that's saying something considering who the Oilers still have.
Yeah, Hyman's not changing the outcome of this series. I mean, Florida's still going to win the series. I think if Hyman's in there, you know, maybe instead of winning a couple of those games in overtime, maybe they win it in regulation. But again, like, I don't see a way that Florida loses this series. I mean, you look at the goaltending, that is the glaring issue for this Edmonton team. I mean, it's been regular season issue. You know, how do you not know who you're going to play? And I know Skinner had a bad performance, and hence why he was benched in game five. But you know, you have to stick with who got you to the playoffs. Now, I don't mind bringing someone in like Pickard and trying to give your team a spark off the bench, but going away from a guy like Skinner, who's been your guy all year long, and then switching to Pickard, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, I understand Chris Knobloch's thought process behind it, but I don't know if I 100% agree with it. And then I think for Florida, I think defensively and their goaltending, I mean, Bobrovsky's just been excellent every year in the playoffs.
I remember, I think it was a Gerard Gallant quote a couple years ago when I think the Rangers lost to the Devils. He said something along the lines of, you know, talent means nothing if you can't play together on the ice. And I think a lot of hockey fans are saying the Oilers front office didn't do enough to get this team where it should have. And I don't fully fully agree with that point because I do think the Oilers had a very good roster and a good enough team to win, but I just think nobody knows how to win in the playoffs like the Florida Panthers. I mean, there was never any panic. They were down in series multiple times throughout. I don't want to say every round, but I know they were down in the at least two rounds. They were down in the finals, but this team never panics when they're down, a game or two. And I think back to last year when the Rangers played them. The Rangers had a 2-1 series lead. They went back to Florida and they were a crossbar or a post away from actually going up 3-1. But Florida ends up just taking these games because they play in these close games. And then right when your team thinks, oh, you have them, you're 2-2 going to the third period, they just put you away. And I kind of think with the how the series went, there was a ton of close games, obviously, but then last night being a blowout, the writing was just on the wall that eventually Florida was just gonna have the go ahead game and just completely put it away. But I think it's a testament to how good of a playoff team that they are. And I know Gary Bettman said when Paul Bissonnette asked about the whole tax issue, he dismissed it, but if you just look at the lines of Florida, like I don't even know how like legally that you could have like Brad Marchand on your third line, because to me he was like the Conn Smythe runner up. And speaking of the Conn Smythe, Sam Bennett won it, and this is a guy who had 15 goals in the playoffs, 13 of which were on the road. And to think every single goalie interference call that you saw, it was Sam Bennett just being a menace in the crease. And even if those goals didn't count, he kind of got in the head of goaltenders, and I think that's a lot of it is what happened to Skinner. But I just think, Dom, do you think like the way that these Florida players don't really carry what happens in the regular season into the postseason, and they just are become a whole new different breed of player, is what makes this team so successful and not necessarily super flashy in the regular season, but come playoff time, you're like, yeah, that's the team that's gonna win?
It does. Yeah, they find a way to play together cohesively and look like one good unit. I mean, you look at a forecheck, right, for this Florida team. They're aggressive. They come in with speed. They go on a 2-2-1-2. So that's traditionally a more aggressive forecheck for a hockey team. You can run a 1-2-2 where you're kind of just sending one on the puck directly, and then you can run what they call a neutral zone trap. So the trap would just be you're trying to not let them get into your zone. But Florida was very aggressive. Paul Maurice told his guys, get down into the zone and pressure the puck. And a team like the Oilers has a very offensive scheme with their defensemen. So you got guys like Bouchard, who's not great at handling the puck. And we saw those woes last night. So I think that in terms of Florida, I think that their play in the playoffs is just different than the regular season.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. They find ways to come together in the way that the Oilers didn't really find as much. You saw like the defense was lacking a little bit. We talked about if Zach Hyman would have made a difference in any of that. I don't think it would have been anything that could have turned the series around for Edmonton. Because as we were talking about, like once you kind of let it go Florida's way, like they once they get their teeth into a team, they're not gonna let go. They're just going to find ways to win. And I like they play aggressive. You talked about Sam Bennett in the crease, Lydia. Like it's tough for me to. I know there's the question going around of if the Oilers had a different goalie, would things have gone differently? And we can talk about that, but I still don't even know if that would have made the difference, especially considering that a couple of Edmonton's best players like went quiet a little down the line in that series.
Well, even when you think about Bobrovsky, like Bobrovsky let in a bunch of soft goals when you think about it. Like I think it was game two, maybe, like that Victor Arvidsson, or maybe it was game one. Like he just let it right through his arm. So I think like it's the goaltending issue. You didn't even need like the goalie to be perfect. But here's like I do the whole like argument of the 2-1-2 is so crucial because a lot of teams play it. But no team has figured out how to play it like the Florida Panthers, and a lot of teams do the 2-1-2. They have the pressure, and then they just leak out the back end, and teams are just able to get through. And this is why it's hard for me to say better goaltending would have gotten the Oilers farther. I do think it would have, but I just think the Panthers' structure is that good. And I mean, Connor McDavid had his first goal last night in Game Six. This is the guy who is undisputed right now, the best hockey player in the game, and he just torched teams. Like he McDavid, as far as I'm concerned, walked through the playoffs and just made teams look silly. But then the Florida Panthers made him look silly. And I don't see how, because there was a kind of a shift, like from roster wise from last year to this year. Like Panthers lost a lot of good players. When I think Brandon Montour, obviously on the back end, like they went into playoffs without him, but you're able to bring in guys like Marchand, like Seth Jones. It's just there's never a drop off with this team, and I just Paul Maurice too. I mean, he coached for 25 years with no Stanley Cups, and now he's got back-to-back Stanley Cups. And I know I keep harping on it, but there was never any panic with this Panthers team. And I think back to when they beat Carolina in the Eastern Conference Finals. I remember watching that game, and I didn't see a single Panther like smile or celebrate when they moved on. Like you moved on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like that was my team. I'd be like pulling my hair out celebrating. We haven't even won the cup. Like they just, it's like this is the ex. This, the Stanley Cup is the expectation for them, and anything short of that is a failure, but they aren't failing because they're just that good. So that's why I think it's very much safe to call the Panthers a dynasty. But I do want to talk about on the other side, Connor McDavid obviously falls short for the second year in a row. Last year, with the whole documentary, you saw him say a lot of stuff in the locker room. But I don't know this year, Grace, if. Well, we kind of talked about it. If he had the right words to say or really knows what went wrong, do you think that Connor McDavid kind of needs more accessories to play with in on his wings, or do you just think that it's only a matter of time before he wins the cup because he's right there? But what's going to get him, I guess, over the hump and win the Stanley Cup?
Ooh, I would say, I mean, a few accessories can't really hurt, but at the same time, they have a lot of great players on that team. Obviously Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had a great playoffs as well. But and then obviously there's Zach Hyman when he comes back, etc. But like, it's just, I think it is just a matter of time. But the way he steam like seems to steamroll other teams, and then once they come meet Florida, it's really difficult. Kind of makes me think that there is going to be one day, because I don't like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Florida is going to win the next five Stanley Cups, because that doesn't happen. I think there's going to come a year where, you know, so they might need a little help on the other, on the eastern half. You know, someone has to knock out Florida maybe, and whoever they meet, I think the Oilers can beat, because the Oilers are a fantastic hockey team. There's obviously no getting around that. But they might just, like, it might just be one of those things where they can't beat the Panthers. That might be a theme that we see, but one day there's going to be a time where the Panthers aren't in the Stanley Cup final. It might not be next year, it might not be 2 years from now. I think they can, assuming the Panthers are not going to win like four in a row, they will have a better time if it's not against the Panthers. That said, they could come back next year. It could be a rematch for the third year in a row, and the Oilers could win, because it's still very tight. Most of the series it seemed very, very close. So I don't want to completely be like, oh, Panthers in four next year if this happens again, because I don't think that's gonna happen. But you know, it might be one of those things, but down the line somewhere, I would just find it very hard to believe if McDavid and also Leon Draisaitl, if they don't win a cup, I just find that hard to believe.
Edmonton can get over the hump. There's no doubt in the playoffs. I mean, we did talk about it earlier though, and we said, you know, this is a team in Florida in Sunrise that plays exceptionally well in the playoffs. And you look at across all sports, you know, we saw it this year with the Knicks and the Celtics. Like, the Knicks were 0-4 against the Celtics, and they came back and won the series in I think it was four, five or six games. So you have that. And then in football, you know, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. You get the Chiefs, and the Bills can't figure it out. So, you know, there's both ends of the spectrum. Now, I think this Edmonton team can get it done. But what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to find someone who's reliable in the playoffs in net. I mean, I don't know if Skinner is their guy, and Pickard certainly is not. We saw that. And you look at this Florida team and the wins they had over the Oilers this postseason. I mean, the game one game was tight, as well as game two, but game three was a convincing Florida lead. They won that one 6-1. And then the last two, game five and six, were won by 3 goals and 4 goals, respectively. So I mean, these are blowout statement wins by the Panthers. I mean, these are not just, hey, we won by a couple, one or two goals, empty netter. I mean, they truly dominated the game. And another thing that I want to touch on before I pass it along is the quick starts that Florida had. Florida was +7 against the Edmonton Oilers in the first period. And Edmonton also found themselves in the box very often and very early in this series. And I think it ended up hurting them.
Yeah, I think that's like a really good point because, I mean, for me, every analogy can just relate back to like what an atrocious season the Rangers had. Like they would give up goals like in the first minute of the game, and then the game was over. And it's funny thinking back to the only comeback win they had was in one of their last games of the season against the Florida Panthers. But Florida was threw out a garbage lineup. But I remember earlier this season, I went to a Rangers Panthers game at Madison Square Garden. And funny enough, I was sitting next to AJ Greer's dad, who was just the nicest guy. But I remember him telling us like how happy his son is. And AJ Greer is obviously a player who's fourth line. He gets moved around, healthy scratch sometime. But hey, I just remember him telling me like what a world-class organization Florida is, how amazing the coaching staff is, and how like this is his son's favorite place to play. And like kind of hearing that like really made me realize like there's more to the Florida Panthers success than just like the on-ice product. It's like the fact that their facilities also like are insane, and they have just like a good locker room culture. So that's why it makes me hard to think that this season in free agency and next season, especially with next season being the huge 2026 UFA class, McDavid's going to be out there, Kaprizov's going to be out there, Jack Eichel's going to be out there. I don't really see them dropping off in performance because I do really believe that players are willing to take cuts to go to Florida, especially since you make more money. Like I know when I think of this isn't a Florida comparison, but like Jake Oettinger makes like $8 million. Igor's gonna make 11. Jake Oettinger's net salary after taxes is more than Igor's. Like to me, that's like a fair argument. But just Florida being a world-class organization too, I just don't think their success is gonna go away. And if you think of a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, like the success for Tampa hasn't gone away either, but they're gonna be a team that definitely is going to be in the mix for the next couple years. And even if they're not, finishing atop the standings, I think when fans are filling out their playoff brackets or insiders are filling out their playoff brackets, I mean, I picked Florida, but I'm not gonna say I'm like, oh, I'm a genius, I'm a puck knower. Like I picked the obvious team to win the Stanley Cup, and it just happened so that they did. And I'm sure the thousands and thousands of other people that did the same thing as me and thought they were, puck knowers, are feeling the same way. Like, of course, the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup. But yeah, I mean, that series will wrap up. So we'll have to see. Obviously, still a lot of hockey news, I guess, with, going into the draft. And Grace, I know the Islanders have the first overall pick, and I know there's a lot of noise with, is there going to be any movement? But that'll be in the coming weeks. So only time will tell what'll happen there. But let's talk about now the whole, I guess, our local news with the whole Chris Kreider departure. So Chris Kreider was traded to the Anaheim Ducks for Carey Terrence and a third round pick, and then the Ducks get their fourth rounder back. That was actually in the Jacob Trouba deal. I mean, Sophie and I kind of broke this down yesterday on, I guess, a special edition of 5 on 3, but I mean, the writing was on the wall, right? We knew for a long time Chris Kreider was no longer going to be a New York Ranger, but I think like still reading that news, it sucked. And it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense to me. Obviously, like seeing where Chris Drury, he's in a kind of a crossroads. Like if you're a business owner and your business is failing, you have to make changes. And that's exactly what Chris Drury did, because he's got a job to do and the players on the ice have a job to do. But definitely seeing the longest tenured Ranger hurts to go into play all the way across the country. But Grace, do you think Anaheim was a good landing spot for Kreider, knowing that, Trouba, Vetrano, Strome, and Trevor Zegras, guy who he trains with, all play out there?
Yeah, I actually, for Chris Kreider, obviously, first of all, end of an era for the Rangers and for their fans. We kind of saw this coming, but it's a bummer. I'm not even a Ranger fan, but it like really bummed me out, like seeing Mika's post and all of that. It really sucks, but I think for Chris Kreider's career purposes, like, not a bad place to land. They have the new coach and Joel Quenneville. Not, I saw some rumblings on the internet that like he could be excited to play for him, and that's, you know, that's great for him. And then you have the ex-Ranger group over there, which is kind of crazy how they just keep acquiring them. But yeah, I mean, I like it for Kreider. I think it's going to be a big adjustment, obviously, outside of hockey. Moving the family out to California, it's a big adjustment. An entirely new place, new system. He's been a Ranger for a long time. So all of that is a big adjustment, playing with all these different guys as well. Although some of them aren't different guys. He's played with a lot of them. But it's overall, it really sucks for Kreider to leave. And I wonder, Lydia, you can probably talk much better about this than I can, but like I wonder how it will affect the locker room, because during the season when they were talking about trading Chris Kreider, I remember everyone was like, oh my God, why would you do that? Like the locker room would be in shambles, which I would agree with. But now that it's, you know, they're going into a new season, and everybody kind of knew that this was on the way, like I wonder how the impact on the locker room will be different.
It's kind of bittersweet to me. Obviously, you know, Kreider, you hate to see him go. He had 582 points in 883 regular season games and 76 and 123 playoff appearances. But this is a guy who, and I think the timing of it right now is not the worst thing if you're a Rangers fan. I mean, Grace just touched on it. Like in the middle of last season, the Rangers locker room was probably in shambles. I mean, you got a guy who's been there for over 10 years in the program, and you're saying, hey, like this is one of our star guys, and he's going to get traded, and then he's not. And I'm glad that he did it now, Chris Drury. And I also, you know, obviously we already touched on it. Like the Rangers are struggling. They have all this talent. That why can they not get to the playoffs this year? Like they should have been in the playoffs. I mean, they were a team that had plenty of talent. And I think, you know, firing Laviolette was another good decision. I mean, you have to make changes as a GM and president, and you can't continue to watch a team, especially playing at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. You can't continue to see that team losing. So I it's disappointing to see Kreider go, and you know, thank you for all that he's done to the New York area, but it was probably his time to go now.
Yeah, I think pretty much to answer your question, Grace, I think Dom's point about the timing of it was the best it could be, in my opinion as well. I just the locker room was it was in such a terrible place all of last season. Like I remember, Grace, I always refer to the story where I was like at Kreider and Larry Brooks is standing there and just like, sorry, is your court, are you guys just weak as a team? And Kreider's looks at me, he's like, well, I don't know. And I was like, I should probably leave. But I mean, yeah, the locker room was in a really horrible place last year. And before Jacob Trouba's departure, he kind of mentioned it's hard to be a leader when you just know your team doesn't want you. And I think the Trouba was a very different circumstance. Like he was getting paid like $8 million, and we just couldn't afford to pay him that with the performance we were getting from him on the ice. And I do think Chris Drury learned from Barkley Goodrow, from Jacob Trouba, the transparency. Like the team knew what was happening with Kreider the whole time. And then Chris, he talked to Kreider. He was like, look, I'm, you know, Pat Verbeek and I want to make a deal, but I'm not going to start negotiating with him unless it's okay with you, because I know the Ducks are on your 15 team no trade clause. And Kreider said, I'll, you know, if you make a deal, I'll sign off on it. And there was the transparency was there the whole time with Chris Drury, which is definitely something that I think he's learned from his past doings. But I still, like, for me, it's always been hard to grasp the whole locker room and shambles thing from Barkley Goodrow and Jacob Trouba. Like, I get it. They're friends, their families know each other, but like you have to know when your team plateaus like they did against the Panthers series. Like, yes, a couple bounces and they're in the Stanley Cup finals. But like I was saying, like I said to Sophia yesterday, I think the better team last year won that series. I don't think the Rangers were the better team. The Florida Panthers were the better team. It's hockey though, so a few bounces go your way and you're in the Stanley Cup finals, but that wasn't what happened. So obviously changes had to be done. The locker room took the hit the whole year, but now I think it's JT Miller's team. I think JT Miller should be the next captain of the New York Rangers. I think Adam Fox and Vincent Trocheck should be alternates, as well as Panarin, because I know, you know, what separating what happened like with Panarin and all that stuff, He's a lead by example guy on the ice. He's a guy that you don't need him to say a lot, but you just need players to watch what he does and emulate that. It's just he's that good of a player and he's quiet. He's pretty talkative like with the media, but there's always a language barrier there. So he's a quiet guy. So I think you have those three in your leadership. Mika's clearly not going anywhere, but I don't think Mika can be a leader on this team anymore, especially with Kreider's departure. But yeah, this is a whole new core for the Rangers. You lost Barkley Goodrow, Jacob Trouba, Chris Kreider, Filip Hedl, Kaapo Kakko, and Ryan Lindgren. I know I'm probably missing a few. So it's a whole new team that will be playing for the Rangers this year, but I don't think that's a bad thing. And one of the reasons, obviously, they had to get rid of that $6.5 million for of Chris Kreider, we saw it this morning. Matt Rempe got extended only on a $1 million deal, but the Kreider dealing, brought the Rangers from like $8 million of cap space to $15 million of cap space. So it was crucial in that regard, to get that contract. And the fact that the Ducks took the whole contract, like I don't know what Chris Drury has on West Coast general managers, like. He must be taking them to like the nicest steakhouse in New York when they come to town because how he got the Sharks to claim Barkley Goodrow and all the dealings he's done with the Ducks. But I just think, yeah, I think the timing couldn't have been better for the Rangers. And it does really stink to see Chris Kreider go. But with the new, I guess, head coach coming in, the last thing I kind of wanted to touch on is Matt Rempe obviously gets extended. I really am confident soon Will Cooley will get extended. Is this Chris Drury with the Sullivan hiring trying to make a whole different culture within the Rangers and kind of be try and make your team closer to like a Florida Panthers model team? Because obviously the Rangers play the 2-1-2. Well, they did under Laviolette, and I think Sullivan will keep that up, but they don't have the structure and the grit that Florida has, as well as the skill. So, Dom, do you think this is a move? Getting rid of Kreider, re-signing kind of tough guys is trying just to get closer to that Florida Panthers play style.
He's changing the culture for sure. I think that it's a total culture change. I mean, you get rid of a franchise guy in Kreider and your head coach Laviolette. Anytime you see a head coach and a top player go, you're trying to make a substantial change within the organization. So I think he's trying to maybe, light a fire under some of the players on his team and say, hey, look, I'm bringing in new star players. Like, I brought in a new head coach. Like, now it's our time. Enough of Florida's time. Like, we need to go and make a run into the playoffs and win the cup.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely when they got rid of Laviolette, I think it signified that they were turning the page on this era a little bit because there came a point this past season with the Rangers where I did not feel like they could play for Laviolette anymore. Like he didn't have the capability or whatever you want to call it of to get these players together. Like whatever was going on in the locker room, they refused. Or not refused, but like it was hard for them to play for Laviolette, which you don't see with a lot of teams who, have great seasons. So I think that was the first step. And then obviously, like a lot of player movement even before then as well. But overall, that was kind of the first thing that made me think like they're trying to turn the page, even though obviously a year ago, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're trying to move on. Maybe bring in a new culture, and obviously Chris Kreider leaving. It's tough to see a veteran voice leave like that. As you kind of touched on, Lydia, like imagining Mika as a leader without Kreider there is kind of weird. I feel like they kind of just go together. But yeah, I think definitely JT Miller, even though he just got back to the Rangers, JT Miller would be a fantastic captain for them. I know there's been talk about Trocheck as an option as well, which I think is fine too, but I think JT Miller is the guy, and I think he gives them a little bit of like, how do I want to put this? Like evil, kind of like evil energy with the Rangers. Like I think that's, some of the guys there are a little bit quieter. Like Panarin, you said, like, he's very good, obviously, but he doesn't have that kind of like almost meanness that JT Miller has, which I think is what they need when they're trying to make it back to where they were 2 years ago. Or last year, I mean. So, yeah, I think they definitely are trying to change the culture, and I think that's a good move by Chris Drury, who, I mean, he just got the extension, so his job is probably safe for a couple of years. But It's you needed to do that, especially considering the 180 that they did between 2023 to 24 and this past season. You had to change something, and I think they actually are executing it pretty well.
Yeah, I think like when you see a team plateau in any sport, changes have to be made. And honestly, I think like the Dallas Stars are kind of experimenting with a similar, crossroad right now. Like they can't get the job done. They can't get past the Western Conference Finals. So, seeing if there's a taker for Jason Robertson, and who's a really, really good player, but seeing if you can get a haul for him and trying to do something a little different. It's not the worst idea, but certainly I think sometimes the captaincy, and especially in hockey, but in any sport, gets confused for like it's the player that's supposed to be everyone's best friend. I think it's the player that knows how to push their players. It's the teammate that when push comes to shove, they're there for you, but also knows what buttons to push, how to piss you off. Like, I just think it's not it's saying the things to people to get them to the point where they're like, all right, this guy's saying a bunch of crap about me. I need to prove him wrong. And then you go out and prove him wrong. And then your captain's like, see, I told you could do it or whatever. So I think that's why JT Miller didn't work out in Vancouver. But when I look at Vancouver's roster, and I know this isn't about the Canucks, but I think they're soft. I mean, a lot of Vancouver fans say that they should have traded Petey and not JT Miller because of their little interaction. But that's just the reality of the league. And I think with the new Rangers, I guess, identity crisis, which because they don't really have an identity right now, there's no better player to name than JT Miller to push this team how they need to be pushed. And I think only time will tell. But as for, I mean, just the next coming weeks, the Rangers and the whole of the NHL will have the draft. So a lot of teams will be, Grace, like I said, the Islanders have that top pick. Will the Rangers keep theirs? How will the RFAs? What will happen with RFAs? You talk about the Sabres. The Rangers supposedly want to go after JJ Paterka. So we'll see how active they are in the offer sheets there. I'm not sure it's going to happen. And I've seen Sabres fans say if the Rangers offer Paterka, they're going to offer Cooley. So that's not cool. But only time will tell. But that'll pretty much do it today on this episode of 5-on-3. The Florida Panthers are the Stanley Cup champions, and Chris Kreider is no longer a New York Ranger. But for Lydia Perner, Grace McCarrick, and Dom Sansone, this was this week's edition of 5-on-3. Thanks for listening.